Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary, hosted by me, Spencer. How is everybody doing today? I hope you are doing fantastic. This is episode F-152. F-152, and we shall first start talking about the words. The first word in this episode is flish, spelled F-L-Y-S-C-H. Did I get all of those letters correctly? F-L-Y-S-C-H, flish. Flish, it is a noun from 1853. Let's see how long he can last with this voice. It's a very fun voice. I like it. I quite enjoy it. This is a thick and extensive deposit, largely of sandstone, that is formed in a geosyncline adjacent to a rising mountain belt and is especially common in the alpine region of Europe. Europe. Okay. I will stop doing the voice because maybe it doesn't. Not everybody likes it, but I think it's kind of fun. So this is a sandstone thing in Europe, right? That's what we need to know. A rising mountain belt. Common in the alpine region. That's, I would call that a mountain belt. Let me just put on my belt of mountains here. Flisch. This is a German word, and the German language is spoken, near the, alpine region of Europe. So I think that makes sense. Extensive deposit of largely of sandstone. Okay, great. Sound effect will be... Now, we have fly sheet. Two words, noun from 1825. Number one, a small, loose advertising sheet. The synonym is handbill. So I guess it's just when they're trying to advertise something, they're just handing out these sheets. And maybe they're called fly sheets because people are like, meh. And they toss them on the ground and then they start flying around with the wind. The fly sheet. Number two is a sheet of a folder, booklet, or catalog giving directions for the use of or information about the material that follows. So it's a thing that tells you about the stuff that you're gonna encounter, that you're gonna read in this folder, booklet, catalog, whatever it is. So why do they call it a fly sheet again? Maybe it's just like the idea of it's a loose, it used to be a loose piece of sheet. A loose piece of paper. It's a sheet of paper. And then they like stuck it in the thing and it's a fly sheet. Okay. Next is fly speck. One word. Noun from 1723. Number one, a speck made by fly excrement. Okay, great. Why do we have this word for this? A speck made by the fly excrement. Wouldn't you just call that the fly excrement? What is this speck? They leave behind a speck because it's so tiny. It's this big. You can barely even see it. I don't know if I've ever seen fly excrement. I don't particularly want to, although I'm sure I've seen it. I'm sure that it has just been around more than I would like to imagine. Let's not think about that. But the speck, it's the fly speck. Okay, number two is something small and insignificant, like a piece of fly poop. It's small and insignificant. It is not important whatsoever. Fly speck. Fly speck is also a transitive verb. Maybe the fly is fly specking when it is dropping its droppings? Okay. Maybe they were using this a lot in the 1700s. I have not heard people say this. Fly speck. Well, I don't know. Okay. Next is fly strike. Two words with a hyphen. Noun from 1940. This is British. Infestation with fly maggots. Now, I was thinking this would have something to do with war and planes and bombs and guns and all those sorts of fun things. But no, it is an infestation with fly maggots. Fly struck is an adjective, also British. So you're like, ah, crap, I've been fly struck. The fly maggots got me. They have infiltrated my closet, and now all my clothes got fly struck. We went through a fly strike. The flies striked. They struck. British people, are you still using this? It's been, 85 years? 85 years. Do you say fly strike when you have an infestation of fly maggots? I don't ever want a fly strike. Next is fly swatter. S-W-A-T-T-E-R. This is all one word. Noun from 1917. A device for killing insects that consists of a flat piece of perforated rubber or plastic or fine mesh wire, fine mesh wire netting attached to a handle. Any combination of those types of materials, or just one of them, one of those types of materials, you put it on a handle, and then you got yourself a fly swatter. I think that they have holes, it's more easy to swing them. Otherwise, you might get too much resistance, air resistance, and maybe it won't fly through the air as fast as you would like it to. I'm not so sure. You'd think that you'd want just a solid piece of thing to make sure you get that insect real good. But, you know, just tiny little holes should be fine. I definitely have used these, you know, sometimes they're necessary in certain situations. I would prefer not to kill them if I don't have to. I would rather shuffle them out to Buffalo, out the door. But sometimes, you know, you just gotta, like, sorry, it's just time for you to go. If we got a video shoot, we got a fly swatter in our video studio, in case a fly gets in, we can't have a fly flying around during our video shoot. We got to get rid of it. Anything else about fly swatter? I don't know. These little buggers, these bugs, we call them buggers. They are quick, and you got to be quicker, and that is very difficult. So maybe what they need to make is a fly swatter that's like 1 or 2 feet wide all around, a big square, and then they will have a much harder time flying away from that fly swatter. You might have a hard time wielding the fly swatter, but I have faith in you. Next is fly tire. One word, tire is T-I-E-R, like I'm tying my tie, so I am the tire. Fly tire, noun from 1881. A person who makes flies for fishing. And the way that they make the flies for fishing, of course, those are the flies that look like flies or other things that the fishes eat. So the way that they make them is they tie them with like strings and stuff, and they do this tying action, so they are a fly tire. And it's a very simple, not very creative, but accurate name. Fly tire. Next is flighting. Fly with a T-I-N-G, flighting, noun from 1508. This is a dispute or exchange of personal abuse, but it is in verse form. You have to be so smart and so clever to be able to do this. I would never be able to do this. No, no, no. I just find this so funny that this is in verse form. A dispute or exchange of personal abuse. It's like what is the thing when you're attacking, you're doing a roast on somebody else, maybe in a comedic way, but you have to do it in verse. So what is this, like the Shakespearean verse, pentameter, iameter, blah, 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 blah. I don't really know how it goes, but it's something like that. And you, that's the way you are required to do this personal abuse, and it's called flighting. This word is Scandinavian. It literally means contention. It is a gerund of, I guess, flight or flighty, which means to contend or argue. From Middle English flitten, from Old English flitan, akin to the Old High German flizan, flizan, which means to argue. I guess that's where it all comes from. It's all about arguing in a fancy way. It's a fancy argument. Yep, I'm not doing no flighting. Never, ever. I'm not that smart. Next is flyway. It's not a fly away. It's just flyway. Noun from 1891. This is an established air route or of migratory birds. An established air route of migratory birds. The way that the birds fly is the flyway. Another just not creative but accurate name. We are birds. Let's go on our way. Which way should we take? I don't know. Let's just take the flyway again. Is that like the highway? No, it's not the highway. Although it is high up there in the sky. It's the flyway because we are flying it. We're not driving it. Flyway. Next is fly weight. One word. Noun from 1911. This is a boxer in a weight division having a maximum limit of 112 pounds. And it says compared to bantamweight. And I believe when we had the word featherweight, we talked about this, and there was a link in the show notes to see all of the different weight classes. Flyweight. Now, I don't remember if flyweight is lighter or heavier than featherweight, but you are supposed to compare it to bantamweight. Next is flywheel. One word, noun from 1784. This is a heavy wheel for opposing and moderating by its inertia any fluctuation of speed in the machinery with which it revolves. Also, a similar wheel used for storing kinetic energy as for motive power, something that is going to make something run. Now, I think I want to look up a picture of this flywheel, but I think these are used in a number of different types of machines and such. I don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes for flywheel because the description is not very helpful unless you really understand what this is. It's a heavy wheel that stores energy and smooths out the operation of a device. It can be found in, here we go, this is helpful, useful information. It can be found in cars, mechanical engineering, and business. And this is where the Google AI thing fails, because you don't find this in business. You do, but you don't. In business, a flywheel, it's a different thing altogether. A flywheel is a model used to explain how aligning an organization around customer experience can create momentum. It's good at storing and releasing energy, which is important for business strategy. And I don't really understand how that is used in business, but I guess they call a thing a flywheel somehow, which is based on the original flywheel, which is the mechanical one that you find in cars and mechanical engineering. And I don't know, there's these like charts in that show like all the different pieces in it. And so I guess it spins and it's got energy and then you can use it and stuff. And it's engineers understand it. The flywheel. It's flying. It's like spinning a lot, probably. And it's a wheel. Anything else? I don't think so. Let's go on to our last fly word. It's fly whisk. Whisk. This is two words. Noun from 1841. A whisk for brushing away flies. A fly whisk is a whisk for brushing away flies. I feel like I need to see this fly whisk. Okay, here are some pictures. Let's look up these pictures. These are they look like tails, like horse tail, cat tail, dog tail, whatever it is. They've basically taken hairs, possibly from an animal tail, and just attached them to a stick. And you know, you can get them decorated in whatever way. This is recreating maybe literally a horse tail, because when you know horses get they flies get blah 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 flies land on them, and they use their tail, they whip it around to brush away the flies, or maybe their ears, or they'll shake their head or whatever. But this is a thing that humans can hold on to, and you're shaking it around to get rid of the flies. Looks like maybe it's more common in Africa. I'm seeing the word Africa. I'm seeing people who look like they might be from Africa. Egypt. I'm seeing Egyptian. I think I've seen these, but I didn't know what they were called. They're called a fly whisk, because you're whisking away the flies with these hairs. That's it. Now, it says it's from 1841, but because this seems to be very common in maybe Egypt, which is part of Africa, and other parts of Africa, this has probably been around for much, much longer, much earlier than 1841, and I'm sure that they have their own word for it, but here in English, we called it the clever name of fly whisk, and that was in 1841. Now, we are in the short FM section, starting with FM, abbreviation for fathom. Now we have FM again, but the F is capitalized. This is a symbol for fermium. That's it. Now we have FM again. This one is all caps. It's the first form of the all caps version. It is a noun from 1940, and this is a broadcasting system using frequency modulation, also a radio receiver of such a system. And what does FM stand for? It stands for frequency modulation. Modulation. You know, I've heard of FM radio. Now, wait, so did we not have FM radio before 1940? Was it only AM radio? And when was the radio even invented? I don't know. I think we need to put a link in the show notes for FM, because I don't understand this. I know that there are different radio waves out there that are naturally occurring, and humans have figured out a way to use those signals to send audio, and there's the AM system and the FM system, and I think the AM waves are larger, maybe they travel farther, and then there's the FM, and they've got certain numbers, 96.3, and so I think that's like 96. Is it 96,000 hertz or something like that? I don't remember the specifics. And the AM is a whole other, they're just different sizes of waves. But FM is frequency modulation. So what does AM stand for? I probably learned that way back in the arcane times of this podcast. Let's do a quick look. It should be easy to find, because it's so very early in this book. AM, amplitude modulation. So, A, also 1940, though. That's interesting. So maybe the radio that we had before 1940 did not have the names AM and FM, and they had different names. What were those names? Amplitude modulation. So that's like how big the wave is, the amplitude. But then FM is the frequency modulation. So maybe when you're going through the FM stations, you're changing the frequency of the waves, but you're focusing in on a different frequency, but maybe AM is you're focusing on a different amplitude of the waves. I don't understand this. I don't get it, and we need a link in the show notes to understand better. And I will maybe never understand it. That's just the way life goes. The second form of FM is an abbreviation for field manual. Did you bring your field manual? Did you bring your FM when we are out looking for some birdies? You must have your FM. I cannot say field manual. I must say FM. The FM has all of the information you need to know about the birdies around you. Maybe the flies. Maybe you brought your fly catcher. Next is FMN. FMN, all caps. Noun from circa 1953. A yellow crystalline phosphoric ester, C17, H21, N409P, of riboflavin that is a coenzyme of several flavoprotein enzymes. And that's all I can tell you. Other than I can also tell you that this is short for flavin mononucleotide. F from flavin, M from mono, N from nucleotide. And the scientists, they understand FMN. FMN. Do they shorten it? Do they call this by its name? Femin? Femin? I don't know. Next is FMRI. Now, this is a funny one because the F is lowercase and all the rest of them are uppercase, capitalized, FMRI. FMRI. This is an abbreviation for functional magnetic resonance imaging. Now, I don't know how this compares or contrasts to regular MRI. Is MRI just another way to say fMRI? Do they have functional machines and non-functional machines? Well, the non-functional machines, they're not going to work very well. I don't know the difference. I don't know what it means. But are we going to see? Are we going to see this whole phrase in the dictionary? I would assume no. Because, I don't know, it's kind of a big one. Let's see. Wow, we gotta go a ways to the FU section. FU, because we're looking for functional. Let's see. Functional. Here, we got some functional words. Oh, yes, we have the whole phrase right there. Interesting. That episode will air on my birthday. September 3rd, you know my birthday, don't you? Interesting. Okay. Now, I've been in an MRI two times, I think. For my back, middle back, upper, the whole back, really. But I don't remember if it was an fMRI or a regular MRI. Again, I don't know the difference and I don't understand it, and we're going to move on. But what you need to know about these machines is that you cannot have any metal, anything that's magnetic, you can't have it because the whole thing is a magnet. It's a big tube. There's a big circle around you, and I assume the magnet is spinning or something. And these things are very loud. They make a lot of sounds like that is what it is. For anywhere, I mean, depending on your situation, it could be 30 minutes, could be an hour. Really, you just, they give you headphones. They help, I guess, a little bit. Not a whole lot. There's a lot of beeping, too. And I feel like the beeping, at the very least, they should be able to minimize that. Because those seem more electronic sounds that they should be able to control. I don't understand why those things are as loud as they are. I understand that there's magnets and it's spinning and that's going to make sounds, but I don't know. Science should be able to minimize the sound of this stuff. So that's the big thing that you need to know, is that you can't have any metal, and they're loud and they will give you headphones. And hopefully you're getting an MRI on the lower part of your body, so they'll put your feet first, and then maybe your head doesn't have to be in there. But the first time, my head was really in there. And if you're claustrophobic, you might have some issues, but you're fine. It's not like it's, you're good. You just go in and like take a little nap. I think I might have fallen asleep a little bit when I was in the fMRI. I would rather say functional magnetic resonance imaging machine. Next is FN, the next letter in sequence, a short FN section, all lowercase, abbreviation for footnote at the bottom of a page of a book or a whatever it is at the bottom. They might add a little bit of information. I like these. These are fun. I am in the process of reading a book that I have not read for a very long time, but there's a lot of footnotes in it. A lot of additional information. And the writer is pretty funny. And it's the book Determined. I think that's what it's called. And yeah, there's a lot of extra information. And sometimes the footnotes are like almost half the page. They're huge. F number. It's just the letter F and then a hyphen and then the word number. This is a noun from circa 1903. And... I will tell you first that the F is from focal length, which is dealing with lenses and stuff. So, let's do it. We got a short definition and a long definition. Number one, the ratio of the focal length to the aperture in an optical system. Okay, so that is what maybe a lot of people don't know, is that this number is a ratio, or it's the number that you get from the ratio. The focal length is kind of, it's the literal length from like the sensor or the film to the end of the lens, maybe. Let's just say that. It's that length to the opening of the aperture. And that's the thing that is, how much light are you letting in? And so then you get the F number, the focal length number. But let's go on to number two. This is a number following the symbol F and then a slash that expresses the effectiveness of the aperture of a camera lens in relation to brightness of image, so that the smaller the number, the brighter the image, and therefore the shorter the exposure required. Okay, so yeah, if you are like me and you deal with these lenses all the time, in fact, let me go grab my lens. For some reason, I've had this lens sitting over there by the door for a long time. This is a very weird lens. I've brought it up before. It's a wide-angle macro lens, which is odd. I think it's 15 millimeter focal length. Well, anyway, so you're not going to be able to see this. Probably, because it's out of focus. If I bring it back here, it's more in focus, but it's so tiny, you can't even see them. So there are these numbers on here. This one has 4, 5.6, 8, 11, 16, 22, 32. Those are fairly standard, but also they go down to like, you know, what, 3, 2.8, 2, 1, you know, there's some standard numbers, and then there's some unstandard numbers that, you know, digital cameras can go to. And how can we describe this quickly? You basically open up the aperture to one of those numbers, and when it's fully open, you're letting the most amount of light in, and that's, say, F1, 1.2, something in that range. And I think F1 basically means that you're letting in the same amount of light that is there in the world, because it's a ratio of 1 to 1. Is that right? Oh, these math and film science lens people are going to hate me for this. But there are some specialty lenses that have been created that can go below one, F0.9. And that, I believe, lets in more light than is there. the camera is getting hit with more light than actually exists or something. It's very strange. But yeah, so the lower the number, the more light that's coming in, the aperture on the inside is open. Oh, you're not going to be able to see it here. And then when what happens is when you're letting a whole lot of light, because of the angle of the lights and everything, you have a very shallow depth of field. There's only a little bit that's in focus. And then as you close it and you close the aperture and you have a very tiny hole, that's when you got like F32. And, you know, there's numbers and stuff. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes for all this stuff. And then you've got a very wide depth of field. It's the way that science and math and light goes, is that when you got a small aperture, small hole, you're letting in less light. You have a lot that's in focus. All right. That was probably more complicated, confusing information than you needed. But, you know, it's interesting stuff, kind of. And yeah, go check out the show notes for F number and focal length and all that stuff. Now we have the FO section, which is probably going to go on for a very long time, starting with FO or FOL, which is an abbreviation for folio. FOLIO. Bingo was his name-o. Folio was his name-o. Now we go. And we have FO, again, all caps, abbreviation for 1, field officer, 2, field order, 3, finance officer, 4, flight officer. We got a lot of officers. Number 5, foreign office, not officer, office. And number 6, forward observer. I don't know what a forward observer is. Those are people who just observe what's in front of them. I want to be a reverse observer, where I am only observing what's behind me. So I need mirrors to be a reverse observer. Now we have our last word, 2 forms. It's the word foal, F-O-A-L. Noun from before the 12th century. This is a young animal of the horse family, especially one under 1 year. That is a very young horse. 1 year. 1 year or younger is a foal. Once they hit 1 year, I guess you can't call them a foal anymore. You just gotta call them a teenager. That's probably about their teenage years. Let's see. In foal, that is a phrase which is the 4th definition of pregnant. And so if you are called in foal, then you are pregnant. That's a weird way to phrase that. They're probably talking about horses. When a horse is pregnant with a baby horse, a cute little baby horse, they are in foal because the foal is in them. I don't know. I think the phrase is a little wrong. It should be foaled. You've been foaled. I don't know. I think I should post a picture of a baby horse because I think everybody would like to see a baby horse. That's the correct. This is from the Old English fola, which is akin to the Latin word pullus, which means young of an animal. Also from the Greek pais or pais, which means child. And there's more at the word few, F-E-W. Don't know why. Yeah, though it's the word just means the young of a thing. And for some reason, we are using it for horses mostly. Why is that? Maybe unicorns too? I think we should start calling our human children foals. The second form of foal is a verb from the 14th century starting with intransitive. To give birth to a foal. When you are in foal, later you will have to foal. Oh, it's time to foal. I better go foal. And then transitive is to give birth to, and then in parentheses, it says a foal. And what was the difference of these? I don't know at all, because they literally have the same words in the same order, but one of them has a foal in parentheses. To give birth to a foal, or to give birth to probably a foal? What the frick is the difference? Huh? What? Okay, fine. We're just going to ignore that. You got to go foalin when you're in foal, and then you'll have a foal. Today we had flish, fly sheet, fly speck, fly strike, fly swatter, fly tire, flighting, fly away, fly weight. Did I say fly way? Fly weight, fly wheel, fly whisk, FM, 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 FMN, FMRI, FN, F number, FO, FO, foal, and foal. Lots of just letters. So many letters. Let's see. Well, I'm thinking, let's do fly spec as the word of the episode. And I'm just going to stick with my typical stuff, I think. There's a fly speck on the ground. Don't step on the fly speck. Oh, you stepped in a fly speck. I didn't even notice because it's a speck. That's great. I don't have another movie to tell you about because I did not see a movie last night. We watched, what did we watch? We watched some Righteous Gemstones, and then we started The Studio, the Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and more people show, which is about running a Hollywood studio, a movie studio, and all the stuff that's involved with that. And I believe that this is, in some ways, exaggerated from the real world, and also in some ways very much not exaggerated at all. It's an interesting look into that world that I believe is often seems very accurate. But also the thing that you have to point out about this show is that there are a lot of long one shots, long single shots, and I always appreciate the artistry, the creativity, the work that has gone into creating these long one shots, and they're beautiful. And the writing is great, the acting is great. Seth Rogen is the lead with a bunch of other great people. So go watch The Studio. It's on Apple if you're interested in that sort of stuff. And I can't wait to see where this show goes. Okay, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out the show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.